And it's not going to be too long. Maybe not.
Can y'all see that?
Just have a little Bible study here. What I'm gonna do now, I'm gonna lay a foundation for what I'm gonna be preaching next few weeks. Not next week, so y'all gonna have to remember what I preached this week, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, right.
All right, can you see that? I see. I'm going to put it like this, like it's in the Bible. And let's put it like this. Maybe I should have done that way over there. I believe that's spelled wrong. Now there are two opposing forces in this world. And you find these, and I told you Colossians, but before we go, look in 2 Thessalonians. Now, y'all write these down. So I'm going to talk to you about this the next couple weeks, and I've been doing a real study about them, and notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work." Whatever that is already at work in Paul's mind. That's in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians here, 2:7. Turn to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So you find the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. You'll find it, notice in chapter 3, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory." Now that's a reference to Christ, but we are Christ's body, right? It's also the mystery of godliness has to do with the church. And so the church is his what? Body. Alright, that's 1 Timothy 3:16. Mystery of iniquity. Two opposing forces. Now look back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you'll see them both there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work." It's already working. It's been working since Paul. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The he in verse 7 is the mystery of godliness that is restraining back the mystery of iniquity. And the opposing, they're opposed one another. Now, back in Colossians, and this is just to lay a foundation. I'm not going to get into much on this, but I wrote that up there so that maybe you could write it down, because when we come back, Lord willing, we can get in on that. Now notice in Colossians chapter 2, and by the way, if you want to see the mystery of iniquity, I'll show you that. Turn with me, before we go there, look with me in 1 Timothy, and notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy what the mystery of iniquity is. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And that is so important, the departing of the faith. And the faith is that doctrine for this body, the mystery of godliness, that's the faith that they're departing from. People don't know about the body of Christ today. People do not know what Christ is doing today. They think he's establishing some kingdom. He's not. He's putting together a body, a building. And it's called the church. And it is totally different from what prophecy is. This over here, the mystery of a godliness, is a mystery. And it's not in prophecy. And it opposes. Now look at what he said. He said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils." Then these seducing spirits, that's the mystery of God, iniquity. The seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Somewhere in the world, in the latter days, there's going to be some seducing spirits that's in people, men, and they're going to be preaching doctrines of devils, and that is in opposition of what the gospel is over here. And what the dispensation of grace is. Anything that opposes and brings a reflection against the cross of Christ is part of that mystery of iniquity. And that's what you can't get people to see. Now, I want you to notice something. He goes on, so you'll find verse 2 of 1 Timothy 4, 2. "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Then they'd have ordinances, wouldn't they? And they'd have things that they couldn't do, and they'd forbid to marry. It's religion. Look in, turn with me to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, notice in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this mystery of iniquity. Verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Well, that's today. Men love their self. That's what's wrong with the world today. Men, lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That lover's a pleasure. It's whatever brings man pleasure. A man that loves himself is going to find pleasure. It might be in, it ain't necessarily sports. It's not necessarily in entertainment. It could be whatever it is. It could be just sitting at home watching television. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'd rather be doing what I enjoy doing more than serving the Lord. Do you know what this passage is? Look on with me. Verse 5. Having a form of what? Having a form of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Having a form of godliness. Who has the form of godly? The people that he just described. Their religion. They're very religious people. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, I know what the power thereof is. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God in the dispensation of grace? It's preaching about what Christ has done for you. It's not what you do for Christ, it's what He's done for you. Our service, our motivation for serving the Lord is not to be bragged about. It's not to be somebody to pat us on the back or we're to glory in. Our motivation for service is because of what He done for me. Why do I preach? Why do I study my Bible? Why do I come up here Sunday after Sunday? Why do I do what I do? Because He did what He did for me. And if He done that for me, I can at least serve Him. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us, motivates us, His love. But these people, they love theirself. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Here we go. Ever learning, never able to come unto the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the truth. But verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Folks, it's in opposition. They resist. This mystery of iniquity is that form of religion today that is opposing the doctrine, the mystery of godliness over here. And I don't care who it is, what church it is. I don't care if you Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, it don't matter. If they're in opposition of what Paul preached, they're part of the mystery of iniquity. And that word iniquity, it has to do with idolatry. Look with me where you're there. Notice in 2 Timothy. And he said in chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall the heathen themselves, teachers, have an itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Folks, that's a good continuation of chapter 3. Don't you see? These things here, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accuser, are the religious systems of the world. And they're set in opposition of the mystery of godliness. And the only thing that's holding back the mystery of iniquity from corrupting the whole world is the body of Christ. And when that body's full and taken out of the way, then it'll be full sway. We think people's religious now. You wait till the rapture of the church. They'll be so religious. And yet they won't understand why all of that's happening. Now I want you to give you just three things. I'm going to let you go. How do we walk in these last days? When the mystery of iniquity is in opposition to us so strong. I want you to look, well, let me just look with me in Colossians, and let's read Colossians and then we'll go. Colossians, notice in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. How do we walk in these times? Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 5. Colossians 2, 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. I'll join in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and builded up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that be Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Now I want you to notice some things about this walk. First of all, in our walk in these last days, I want to say this. God will do whatever he told you he'd do for you. Did you understand that? If God told you something, you can take it to the bank. He'll do it. But make sure that he told you and not somebody else. For instance, turn back and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If God promised you something, he will perform it. But you see, the mystery of iniquity is in opposition of that truth. The mystery of iniquity would have you to believe that you can have anything you want if you asked in prayer. The mystery of iniquity does not recognize the right divisions of this Bible. The mystery of iniquity would have you to believe that God will take care, pay all your bills, give you everything, and do everything you want. And they look at him as a grandfather figure in the heavens, ready to give and ready to solve all your problems. I heard the guy talking about and read that in Matthew over there. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a great promise, isn't it? But God never promised that to you as a member of the body of Christ. If we'd all be honest in here, isn't there times that you got down and asked the Lord to do something and you were sincere in your heart and you asked him to do something and he didn't do it? Come on, haven't you done that? I've had many times that I've got down, and one of the most frustrating things in my ministry is to get the Lord to see a need that I see. I mean, I think I see a need. Lord, I see a need here. I need it. I can't get him to see the same need. And no matter how much I pray, he doesn't do it. And you know what Paul says? In Romans 8, he said, "For we know, because of the infirmity of our flesh." You see, our flesh wants everything. Our old flesh don't want no pain, no controversy, no suffering. We want it, don't we? Now, come on now, be honest with you. We want everything just hunky-dory, I mean, just smooth sailing. And we want, I mean, plenty of money, no problems whatsoever. Amen? And when it ain't that way, oh, Lord. Paul said, because of the infirmity of our flesh, we know not what we should pray for. Why? Because we can't see down the road. We don't know what's around the next curve. What we're asking today, the Lord to do today, it might bring more harm to us tomorrow. And I think about the way the Lord sees time. He sees the beginning from the end. And He knows all in between. And I look at things and I look back and I look back to see where, man, I prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing, but it worked out way down here. Well, you see, while I'm praying, the Lord would look at it and say, "Well, that's going to happen down there. We'll just let it. That's where it's going to happen." And you can't get God to change. So what do? We walk by faith. That's what Paul said. Our walk is a walk by faith. How did you receive Christ? Colossians 2 says, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." In verse 6, how did you receive Him? Huh? By faith. Well, how do you walk with Him? By faith. Now, I want you to look in 2 Corinthians. I told you to turn there, didn't I? Look in chapter 9. Now here's a great promise, and I guarantee you, and He made that to you. Look in verse 7. "Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver." Now here's my verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Is God able to make all grace abound to you? Do you realize that's the grace of man and the grace of God? That's all grace. What's He talking about? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. The grace of man, even your enemies, will show you favor. I mean, there's people that's prayed and their jobs and everything, and they found favor with their bosses and they got promoted or raises or different things. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He can make your enemies show you favor. Do you believe that? I do. You know why? He said it. Turn to Philippians. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Can you do all things? Well, look back what the things are. In verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. And I always have a chuckle when I say, when he says there, he said, at the last your care of me. I mean, finally, at the last, about ready to go out of here, finally, at last, hath flourished again, whereof ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of a want. Now here it is. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased, have nothing. I know how to abound, have everything. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What is the all things he's talking about? He's talking about being in need and having plenty. I can do all things, whatever state, whether I'm poor or whether I'm rich, to be content with what the Lord give me. That's hard to do. I can do it though, through Christ. Look in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your wants. Oh, did I misread that? Flesh got in there, didn't it? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, God will do what he said he'll do for you. Them's verses you can take to the bank. Them's verses you can look at and you can say, Lord, you said this. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me just read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice what he said. In verse, he prayed, verse 8, for this thing, the thorn in the flesh, whatever was bothering him. This thing I besought the Lord Christ that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness, in weakness. Folks, God's grace is sufficient for you. And God will supply all your needs. And God will make all grace abound toward you. And you can do all things. That whether you're poor, rich, whatever comes your way, just be content. And God Almighty will take care of it. God will do in these last days for you. He's not forsaken the church. Our walk is a walk of faith. It's your faith in what Christ did for you on that cross. It's your faith in his word. I believe it. Don't you believe it? I believe it. But I must believe it rightly divided. Let me show you a comparison. Look in John 14. John 14. People talk about the words of Jesus. They have the red letter edition. And I'm not, if you got a red letter edition, I'm not kicking at this one is red letter. Okay? I didn't buy it because it's red letter. I bought it because the print was a little bigger. I done told the deacon I'm getting a place where the print, I can't get big enough print. We'll have to have some kind of light up here. That's another thing we're going to have to do. We're going to put me up a floodlight or something. There's some things that goes with gray hair that's just beyond my control. One of them is eyesight and hearing and look in what he said. In verse 11, John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, And the works that I do shall he do also. Now, did he say those that believe on him, the works that he did, they would do too? Now, that's what he said, wasn't it? Do people do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did today? You know, I read over there where Jesus Christ in John 11 met a man that was born blind. This man didn't just go blind. This man was born blind. He didn't have no eyeballs. And I read where the Lord went down and spit in the ground, the dirt, and you know what the Lord did? The Lord made that man eyeballs and put them in the sockets. Now, do you know anybody? You think Benny Hinn could do that? I don't know nobody that could do that. Well, that's a work, isn't it? Look what he said. Verse 12 again. But he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that not great promises? The problem is, he never said that to you. He said it to the men that was going to have the Holy Ghost and they'd be filled with it under the control of the Spirit of God, where they would never ask anything that wasn't in the will of God, because it'd be the Holy Ghost asking for them. But you don't have that. We walk by faith. We don't do greater works than these. Jesus Christ walked on water. Peter walked on water. You can't walk on water. You don't know nobody can walk on water. I've seen them. I've seen people with hands just withered up. You never see them get healed. But yet I've seen the Lord heal somebody like that, and their hand was whole. Greater works is a walk of faith. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now I'm going to be moving on a little quick here, because I want to... Proverbs chapter 3. Great verse. Proverbs 3:5. What is it to walk by faith? Well, Proverbs 3:5 tells you. Look what he says. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Even if you don't understand, you trust. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you put him first and you acknowledge him, Lord, and you lay it down, you let your request be made known unto the Lord, and you lay it down, I'm trusting you, Lord, you work this out, this is in your hands, he will direct it. Whether you understand it or not, lean not to thine own understanding. You trust in the Lord. Trust in the Word of God. Trust it rightly divided. And God will do everything he said he'd do for you. Amen. But if you trust in what he said to Israel, you'll fall flat on your face. We walk in faith. Walk of faith. But we walk in faith. Look back in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It ain't just a walk of faith. We walk in faith. So I got of faith here.
That would be my faith. I'll just put me and you. Of faith. That's our faith. That's me believing what God says. I believe you. I'm trusting in you. I believe that Jesus Christ was a virgin born son of Almighty God. I believe that God's Son came into this world and He lived a perfect, sinless life. And I believe He died on that cross for all of my sins. And I believe the third day He will come up out of the grave and He's seated at the right hand and I'm seated with Him right now. I believe that with all my heart. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm sealed of the Holy Spirit of God. I have His stamp of approval. And folks, I'm heaven bound. I'm already there. Just hadn't experienced it physically yet. I believe that. That's the walk of faith. I believe that God will do what He said He'll do to me. Now look what He said. But to be in faith. What is in faith? Now notice what He says there in Colossians 2. Are people talking about little words? And I've used that many times. Change just a little word. Of and in. You know, of, that's just two letter words and nothing. And you've seen me do it. Which would you rather be? Of the fire or in the fire? They mean something. Of the faith is my faith in what God says. What is faith? Faith is taking God at His word. Well, what about this in faith? Look in Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in what? In the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein, in the faith, with thanksgiving, being thankful for the faith, abounding in that faith. What is that in faith? Walk in faith. That's what you're taught. You're taught doctrinally. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. He gives pastors and evangelists, verse 11, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Well, how are you going to be in the unity of the faith? You got to believe the same thing. The faith, in faith, walking in faith. It's walking in the doctrine that God delivered to your apostle for you. And people that don't do that, they're over here. Look what he says. Look down in verse Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, what's that? One faith. How many faiths are there? One. And it has to be in doctrine. He said, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Our walk is not it's a walk of faith, but it's a walk in the faith. It's following Paul and what he wrote down for us. Then we find that this walk in the faith is a walk that pleases the Lord. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye, as ye have received of us, Paul, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Well, what do you receive from the Lord? How you ought to walk to be pleasing to the Lord? Through Paul. Through the writings of Paul. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, all the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me doctrinally. And if I don't follow the Apostle Paul and walk in the faith that he was delivered to him, then I'm not pleasing the Lord.
My walk is a walk in the faith. It's a walk of faith, a walk in the faith, and it's a walk of works. You say, works? Look in Colossians. Again in Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then this walk unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In them is walking in good works. Where do I find the good works? I find the good works wrote through Romans through Philemon. The good work. And Satan, this over here, is constantly trying to oppose the work of the Lord and what he's doing. And we'll get into some of that next time. But before we close, look in 2 Timothy. And notice in 2 Timothy, folks, your walk is very important to the Lord. How you live your life is a work. And you demonstrate the grace of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Many people, out of fear, is ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And that testimony of the Lord was given to the Apostle Paul. It's called the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that mind of Christ is how you ought to walk in the dispensation of grace. And you find it in Romans chapter, Romans through Philemon. And people are afraid to stand up for the truth. And God didn't give you that spirit of fear. The devil did. Through your flesh. Now, Lord willing, I want to build on this. And we're going to get into the mystery of iniquity and how the Satan today tries to hamper the work of the Lord.